Welcome to A to Z Jobs, the podcast that delves into the fascinating world of careers, one profession at a time.
In each episode, we'll deep dive into a specific profession, exploring its history, requirements, challenges, and rewards.
So get ready to expand your horizons, challenge your perceptions, and discover a world of possibilities. I'm Roxy.
And I'm Nate.
And we're excited to host you on this journey.
With a passion for working with children and animals, this week you'll meet Caitlin. She had a dream of becoming a zookeeper and created herself a strategy to get there. Hear the steps she put in place to secure her success in this highly competitive career.
Hi, Caitlin. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, guys. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking the time this evening. And let's jump into our first question and find out what you do for a living.
Well, I am a full-time zookeeper. So prior to that, I was and still am a tennis coach as well. So that certainly helped me get to where I am today. But I gained permanency at the beginning of this year at Adelaide Zoo. So dream job. Very, very happy to have gotten this job.
It's awesome. That's so exciting. I have so many questions.
I will do my best to answer.
So perhaps before we dive into our other questions that aren't on our script, let's start with the one that is on the script. Talk us through what a day in the life of a zookeeper is.
Oh, that's a tough one. Every day is very, very different from the next. You've got to expect the unexpected in zookeeping. You've got your dailies, which are your sighting all the animals, making sure that they've got their brekkie, doing those spot cleans, and then you jump in for your weekly cleans, your full cleans. So that's different each day. We make sure that we prep all their food. We're making sure that we're also engaging them as well. So making sure that they're getting some form of enrichment in their day-to-day life. And then we're making sure that if there are any are on medications, that they're getting those as well. Certainly kept on our toes. So I wouldn't say there's a set time frame or what a day looks like. It really does vary. You never say the Q word. You never say it's quiet. You never say, yeah, we've got heaps of time, because it always just seems to fly out the window. And then, yeah, you're on your toes for the rest of the day.
Sounds brilliant.
So very active then, very active role. You're out there prepping food, cleaning, daily cleans, monthly cleans. What about admin? Do you do any admin, or is it all just like fun animal stuff?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. So we do the admin as well. So we do our keeper diaries. So we're writing any notes in there that other keepers need to be aware of if they're taking over from us the next day. And then we do a daily e-report as well. So if anything of notes happened, we send that off. So it goes on to a central ZIM system, so a zoo system that all zoos can access everything about the animals within their institutions. And then we also touch base with our vet teams if we are concerned about an animal or if we need a checkup. So there is a lot of, you know, there is a lot of paperwork associated with it as well. But we do have the HR team and support systems that take on the heavier side of things. So it's a bit of both.
Brilliant. It's a good mix.
It is actually.
That sounds really exciting.
I said I couldn't do a desk job. I have to be outdoors. I have to be in the sun. I would go stir crazy at a desk.
I can imagine. I'm getting to that point. I just want to be outside. And, you know, after interviewing a couple of these guests, we interviewed a wonderful beekeeper last week. I was like, I think I want to be a beekeeper now. It's been 35 degrees here for like 2 days. I just want to be outside.
It's certainly like, it's definitely a good mix. You're out there in all kinds of weather as well. So, you know, you're like, oh, it's pouring with rain today, but you know what? The penguins just want to go and hide, which, you know, they've got a wetsuit on, so I don't understand why they go and run and hide, but yeah, I love it.
Oh, penguins, getting up close with penguins. I just want your job now.
They're one of my favourites.
Oh, that was going to be my question. I was about to ask, do you have a favourite one, or are you just okay with animals?
I think before I even got involved in the zoo, I could give you one. It was meerkats. And then as soon as I started volunteering at the zoo and I got into the job, I was like, guys, I can't give you one anymore. every animal I've had experience with, I fall in love with. So it's a very, very hard question to answer.
Oh, it would like suck having a day off because you'd miss your animals.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I, especially at the moment, we're in breeding season with the penguins, so I'm messaging my friends saying, hey, have we got any eggs yet? Have we got any chicks? Like, what's happening?
Oh, I would watch that as a live feed. I watch the Melbourne Penguin March. Oh. It's on my news feed all the time. I'd be like following Adelaide Zoo.
We got the little what's penguin happening with March. This penguin?
Has this penguin hatched? What are they calling it?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I follow Hugo the Galapagos tortoise on from the Reptile Center in Gosford. He's my favorite by far. Oh, and I've been to see him a few times. Every time someone comes over from the UK, I'm like, we're going to go see this tortoise. So, yeah, excuses.
And they're really cool. They're a lot faster than amazing. I thought.
They are. They're so heavy. Yeah. Stood on my toe. I thought it was broken.
Can I ask, does Adelaide still have pandas?
We do. We do. We've got Wong Wong and Foonie, and then we've got two red pandas in there with them as well. So they're, yay. I think we just celebrated birthdays. I'm pretty sure we just celebrated their birthdays. So we always like to try and do something big for big milestones for the animals. So it's fun for us.
Yeah.
They get some treats as well.
I have to ask because I've been dying to get I saw a video a few weeks ago, no, no lie, a few months ago, about a job called Panda Nanny, where people get to go in and they look after the baby pandas and they give them cuddles and they make sure that the pandas are all happy. Do you know any panda nannies I can interview?
I don't, unfortunately, but I certainly looked into that one. I said I wouldn't mind doing that. It'd be great, you know? They've got a great life. They get spoiled and they're super cheeky.
I can imagine. All the little, like, they're just the different characters that you've got and people, the animal trying to get out. I'm looking after a one-year-old at the moment and that's cheeky enough. Like, all the different animals would be like, oh, that'd be so cool to watch.
Yeah, I feel like the animals are the same. 100%.
So how did you get started in all of this?
Yeah, ever since I was little, I have always wanted to work with animals, but I've always wanted to work with kids and children as well. So I guess it started with the tennis coaching, and that gave me the skills that I needed to interact with kids, find out their interests and just really get them involved. And then I was able to transfer that across to the zookeeping, but I did actually... As soon as I was old enough, I applied to volunteer at Adelaide Zoo, and that was quite a process as well. You go through quite a few interviews just to get into the volunteering there, and then it's quite a full-on on-the-job training, and then you get signed off before you actually get the uniform. So a lot of people were surprised by that. There's a lot of, just to volunteer, there was a lot of work, but by God, it was interesting. You come out of it and your brain is just with all these facts about the zoo, the animals. So that was really my foot in the door because I was looking at vet nursing and vets before that. But as soon as I got the foot in the door with volunteering, I was like, oh, I need to work here. Like, this is where I want to be. And then it was just a matter of the steps. Okay, how do I make this a reality? What do I need to do? And I spent 5+ years as a volunteer, as a guide, and that was fantastic. My favourite part was the touch tables that we were able to do before COVID. So you got to pick a theme and bring out these skulls, furs, all these animal pieces that people could come and have a look at themselves rather than us drawing them in. They could come up and being able to pick the theme and give these animals a second life. For people to come and, I guess, experience what does a cheetah fur feel like, or, where is actually the Neona giraffe? That sort of stuff was really, really cool. And then what did I do after that? I applied for a job. Something came up and I was like, you know what? there's no harm in, you know, just going for it, see what happens. And I got the feedback, just need a bit more animal experience. I was like, okay. So I was like, how do I, you know, that's great advice, thank you. Where can I go, or what do you look for? So they said RSPCA or Animal Welfare League, places like that. So I managed to get into the Lonsdale shelter with the dogs at RSPCA, and I did that just before COVID really kicked off and we had to stop that. So that was a good little taste there. And then the Certificate 3 became available in, I think it was called Captive Animals when I did it. It's now Exhibited Animals. And so that was like, oh my gosh, that's being offered here at Adelaide. I'm going for it. This is what I've needed. And had a look online. I think it just popped up. I think it might have been Facebook. And I was just like, oh, let's have a look. And it's like, yep, yeah, we're doing basically it's the intro to zookeeping. We're basing it here at Adelaide Zoo. And I just jumped on board and got into that and managed to get a casual position while still studying there and have worked my way up to full time very, very quickly.
That's incredible. But the amount of stuff that you needed to do is like, wow.
I was not going to let it stop me. Like I think I didn't jump straight into study straight after high school. I took a break. And then I always had in my mind, yep, this is what I want to do. And I was just like, whatever I need to do, I'm going to do that to make this a reality. And so it wasn't an easy path, but I worked hard and yeah. It's paid off. So,
but you took these incredible steps. Yeah. And these are the ones we're talking about all the time on this podcast, are the volunteering and the understanding of what you're passionate about, but also pivoting, you know, going from the usual route with every friend I've ever had that's loved animals. They're like, oh, I'm going to become a vet, you know, but this, you know, pivots to the side and you get to do so much more. You're involved with the kids, you're in education and people and that whole mix of things. You're not, you know, you're not sitting in a vet's office with all that going on.
Exactly.
You got a
exactly.
different day every day.
I get to do both. I get to work with animals, but I also get to interact with public. So it's couldn't be better.
And I think it's worth noting that you were open to that feedback. It wasn't, I didn't get the job and I've given up, I'm just going to keep moving. It's like, okay, well, tell me, I want to be here. You need to know what to do, right? And then being able to use that feedback to then, I don't know, I picture there, for some reason, I picture you with an Excel spreadsheet mapping out what needs to come next to get in. Anyway, you tracked it, you know, yeah, okay. Almost there, next step, putting this on the spreadsheet, then we're going in.
But the key thing there is that you did ask how. You asked the people who you would be looking to apply for. You said, how, where would I go? And then they gave you a list of, you know, the RSPC and stuff. You didn't go, okay, well, I'm going to go work on the farm next door because that's the closest thing, you know. You asked the employer, like, okay, if that's what you need from me, how do I do that?
Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that's the advice, like, I've had quite a few people, you know, come up and ask, like, wow, how did you score this? Like, what did you do? And I've kind of just gone, well, this is what I did, but there's no right or wrong way. You know, like, there's so many different paths. There's not a straight path to getting into it. And I mean, basically the advice I would give would be get as much hands-on experience as you can. It doesn't matter what animals, just as much experience as you can, because that is going to help you to get into this profession, like, and your passion and personality as well is a big one.
Well, you're in front of people, but then also animals, you know, really react to personalities. Yeah. But you're also, you're in situations that could be quite scary. Like, you know, animals giving birth. Like, for me, the only thing I could really feel for you there is that I've worked on a lot of farm. Well, I've lived next to a lot of farms, and the farmer left me in the field when they were lambing, and one of the sheep started lambing and started having issues, and I was on the phone to Dan going, oh my God, my husband, like, what do I do? I would never go back to doing something like that again.
It's interesting. It's like when you're faced with it in person, like, I'm fine, but watching stuff medical stuff on TV with people, I'm like, nah. But animals, I'm just like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, oh, okay, what is that? I did placement at the local vet when I was studying, and, you know, they did ACL, they reconstructed something, and I'm right in there going, oh, what are you doing? But if I was to watch that, no.
You mentioned there's no straight path, or there's so many different paths. Is there a quick one? If you want a quick win, get in there quickly, how would you do it?
Well, it's a very, very competitive field of work. So most of the time, if someone's in there, they're not leaving there until, you know, they're well and truly retired. But I guess what they're looking for is your basics. So the Certificate 2 in Animal Studies, and then your Certificate 3. They're the main minimum requirements that they're looking for to get into a zookeeping role. Anything higher than that, so a bachelor's degree or anything, is certainly going to help you. But it's based on your personality and your fit and stuff as well. So, I just feel really fortunate. I mean, I went into the course going, you know what, I'm going to do this because I love animals. This one I want to do. I don't expect to get a job out of this. And then I think that thinking, I feel like it just drew this to happening, because I just felt like, wow, I've got casual. Okay. Oh, wow. I'm part-time now. Okay. It's been less than a year. And then just at the end of last year, beginning of this year, we'd like to give you a full-time position. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just looking at it as, you know, these are the next steps and this is what I'm excited about. You've got no big daunting, like, you have the dream, it's the underlying dream, but you're not, your way of thinking about it wasn't the whole, my whole bubble's going to pop if I don't get this. You're just going, you're working hard, you're getting stuck in, you're just trying to build those core values and core steps in your career. And if it doesn't quite work, you're going to pivot again and work out where to go from there and keep that really positive, really good attitude going.
How much do you think the volunteering helped?
Oh, a big deal. I think a big deal, because I kind of, through the volunteering, was able to get my face known around staff at the zoo. And I was able to, I guess, get a feel of the vibe, and it was kind of a taster for me, I guess. And then as soon as I kind of was qualified and in my uniform and as the volunteer, it's kind of like, yeah, I can see myself instead of the maroon, I can see myself in the black and on the other side of the exhibit, in with the animals. And yeah, I certainly feel like that shows or demonstrated commitment, you know, towards what I want to work for. And I was able to say, oh, yeah, hey, I know you. I've seen you around.
You mentioned it was difficult to get into the volunteering side. And I remember this, like, when I was in uni trying to just pick up whatever skills I could get to. Some programs are so hard to get into, so hard to apply for, but they're the key components into getting a job like this. Do you have any advice for that little volunteer, well, the bigger volunteer application?
Gosh, it was a while ago now. I think you're going in and they want to give you the best start possible. So they will give you everything. So it's bits and pieces here about all of the animals that are in the zoo or the institution that you're volunteering in, and to just take it easy and just don't get overwhelmed. And I think once you get through the theory side and into the practical, it starts making more sense. So a lot of people, I think, were taken aback about how much of the theory there actually was. They thought they were just going to jump straight into it. So I think keeping that in mind, that you've got to do the theory before you get feet on the ground. And then you just, it's getting it ticked off. So just, if this is what you want to do, making the time, putting the time aside to move on in it and eventually you'll get everything signed off, you'll get the uniform, and you can just go out there and you will eventually be the one training the trainees.
So you get to be the mentor too. You get to pass it. That's
cool. I miss that. I missed the trainee bit. I just hit the 5 years and I got the certificate for yay, congratulations, 5 years as a volunteer. And then I got the casual position and I actually remember trying to still remain a volunteer while I was casual and go, yeah, I'll be fine. I can still volunteer on the weekends and stuff. And they were very, very accommodating. And I was like, I kept it going for a bit. And then I said, oh, I'm really struggling. I don't think I can volunteer anymore. And they're like, Caitlin, you've got a job. What are you talking about? I said, keep me on the system because I've still got the uniform. Like, it's a way, way, way off. But eventually, you know, when I'm old and retire, I'll come back to volunteering. Like, you're not going to get rid of me that easy.
What did you do to earn a living while you were volunteering?
So I was tennis coaching. So I got the qualification to coach as the head coach at my local club through a small family business. And I basically just worked, I think it was 6 days a week doing that. And then that gradually, as I started to get more hours at the zoo, obviously they change. But yeah, I still do a little bit of that here and there. So just to keep it going.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've still got that. It's almost like a little side hustle. You know, you're always going to have it. You've got those connections. And we could do a whole podcast about tennis coaching. Love to ask you a lot of questions about that. But it is just very much about family connections and finding the right location and all that stuff.
So there's actually doing the course through the zoo. One of the keepers that I had for my first practical block, our fathers actually worked together. So we knew each other that way. So that was a really nice little connection. And I think that was also a little, you know, foot in the door there as well, having a good word put in there. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to just politely lean on those connections and you never know exactly who's going to, you know, somebody's dad, somebody's cousin, you know.
Yeah, that's
especially
it.
With us doing this podcast at the moment, you know, how you guys, how we've got you here.
I mean, and that's it. Like, you treat everything like an interview, basically. So when you're a student or whether you're a volunteer, you're like, yep, everything's an interview here.
Yeah, it's good training then.
Yeah.
It's probably how you move so quickly into the right position. So what would you say is your favorite part of your job?
I just have to say one. There's so many.
You can say many. Five.
Yeah, that's doable. I think working with the penguins, so I got assigned to nursery section / kids zoo section. So that was a win-win because that's kids as well. So that's predominantly your little blue penguin colonies in there. So absolutely adore those little fluffy birds. And then I also do a keeper for a day experience, which is amazing. So that's a real highlight because I get to take people around and they get to experience what the day in the life of a keeper looks like. And I get to see the rest of the zoo for that as well. So I get to experience their joy and live precariously through them.
Oh, you get the best job then. Penguins and baby penguins. I'm just going to come see you on your lunch break. You'll fly over it.
I'm from Adelaide. And in primary school, we did zoo school, and it was like just such a highlight of my life. You know, being a young kid, you get to go to the zoo for a couple of days. There's a special classroom that's, you know, it's off the side. It's not the main part of the zoo, and it's full of all these interesting things, and you do assignments on animals, and you're there. It was so much fun. Do you still do zoo school?
Yeah, I think it's I can't remember what it's called, but we've got the tents and stuff around our education building. So school groups do actually stay overnight So they can choose to either sleep in the tents on the top of the building or in the classroom. So that's picked up quite a lot again. So that's really nice as well, coming in to start your working day and you've got the school kids waking up having their brekkie. And when I was younger, they used to do a program called Zoo Ventures. And I think that's kind of changed to A to Zoo Learning. So they bring in the little kids and they'll pick an animal and they'll do stuff and make crafts based on that animal. So it's still, there's still very much a big engagement with your primary school, your receptions. They cater for everything. I was just really annoyed I missed out on sleeping at the zoo overnight.
Me too. That
I know. I said, I so would have done that.
We should promote it as, like, I don't know, education for adults.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether they do corporates. I said, that's certainly a market there.
Career change. Come and find out all about the zoo. It'll be our new retreat, Nathan, sleeping at the zoo.
I went to, I don't know what it was called. I think it was a fundraiser for the Adelaide Zoo. They did, it was cocktails after hours. So the zoo's closed and they had a band on and they had all these lights and cocktails and you got to wander around like a very small portion of the zoo. You could wander and have a drink and be around the animals and the flamingos, that sort of area where the restaurant and stuff. That was so much fun. I hope they still do that too.
Yeah, they definitely do functions. We have quite a lot of weddings in this time of year, so that's always nice as well. So, yeah. We get proposals as well. So we actually had someone propose during our Keeper for a Day that I was running. So that was a nice little surprise setting that up for them.
That's awesome.
I was like, proposal? Okay, what are we doing? I have to be stealthy. I'm not good at being stealthy.
Okay, so this is all lovely stuff. We're all very happy. We're all ready to get a job at the zoo. What are we going to hate when we get there? What's on your list of...
So I think a real challenge is cleaning those penguin nest boxes after breeding season. The smell is very, very unique. it's... They sit in that nest box for about a month, month and a bit, and then once those chicks are old enough and they're out of the box, it's time to swap it over. So that was a very hard thing for me to overcome. I can deal with, you know, cleaning up poo and wee and all the other stuff, but yeah, that's a difficult one to do. And I think all keepers would agree that a kinked hose is probably one of our nightmares as well. trying to untangle a hose is a very, very tricky thing to do. Especially under time constraint with a clean, yes. So we try our best to try and, you know, put them away as we found them, but some days we go, that's a Caitlin. Tomorrow Caitlin's problem, so we will get that the next day. But and what's the other one? Oh, fish scales. So, you know, working with your seabirds and everything, fish scales, you know, you find the odd scale on you every now and then. That is even after a shower. You're still picking a few off of you some days, wondering, how did I miss that one? And then where the challenge is constantly trying to come up with ways to better connect with our animals. So obviously they've got a preference, favourite snacks, and they've got to get to know our personality, and we have to do the same with them. So they're trying to figure us out as much as we're trying to figure them out. So we're both co-learning there. we get one thing working and then they're like, nope, that's enough. I've had enough of that. And we're back to the drawing board. So, but penguin nest boxes, dirty penguin nest boxes are probably top of the list. We get the students to do that for experience. You know, we say it's not all cuddling the animals. You know, there's a lot of poo, wee, cleaning up after animals. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Is there like a hierarchy of animals that you look after? Like as a newbie, you get the penguins and the meerkats, and then as someone who's been there 3 years, you can start looking after, you know, the orangutans and other challenging animals? Or is it like you're qualified, you can get in to and work with any animal?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So kids zoo or nursery has quite a mix of animals in it. So predominantly it's your penguins, but we've got some goats, some wombats. What else? We've got some small natives, so quokkas, bettongs. And then I've slowly been trained up in a couple of other rounds as well. So a couple of the birds rounds. And then with the keeper for a day, I've been trained up. It was the best day of my life. For keeper for a day, they actually trained me up to hand feed the maned wolf. And I thought they were joking. So they said, yep, come over here. You're going to hand feed the maned wolf. And I was like, really? You've just made my day. So I did that, and I'm now signed off to do that as part of the keeper for a day. So that's why I love it, because I get to do that every time I do a keeper for a day. And that's just a big win.
That's incredible. You're almost going up on levels, like level animals.
And there's specified intersections. So there's lots of different rounds. So within my department, there's about 3 or 4 different rounds, and then you've got your big cats, your small cats. They've kind of sectioned them off there. So if I wanted to potentially, let's say, work with the big cats, then I'd be saying, hey, I'm really interested in doing this. Is there any chance I could get some experience here? Or as soon as there's kind of a job vacancy open, I apply for that and get in that way. I'm very happy with where I am at the moment, but you get your opportunities throughout the day that they just go, hey, do you want to have a go at this? Do you want to do this? I'm like, yes, yes, I'm not going to say no. So I got to feed the tiger cubs, which was, oh, amazing. I said, oh, I'm in love with these guys now. They're not exactly cubs anymore. They're quite big now, but... They said, do you want to do that? And I was like, of course.
Well, you just got to keep saying yes. You've got to specialize, you know, because you can niche down into your animals. Yeah. But like if you specialize as much as possible, you get that excitement that's on your face. I can see at the moment.
Yep.
You
know, it's like. Yep. Oh, it's just, it's amazing. And I mean, when I first started the job, you get your, I don't just get put in it, here you go, you'll be fine. It's, you get your training days with another keeper. And they're like, oh, you've done this round before in your placement, you'll be fine. I was like, no, I actually did every other area but here. So take it slow. And then, yeah, my first solo day was quite daunting. But everyone was so supportive, and they're like, you've got this, you know, you're going to learn how to do things better and get quicker. And I'm still finding I'm learning how to do things better every day. And I'm always going, oh, wow, I didn't know that. There you go. That's something new. And so you're never like, oh, I know everything, because every day is very, very different.
That takes me into my advice question pretty well. Like, is there any advice you'd give anybody who's starting out as a zookeeper or looking to start out as a zookeeper?
Hold on to the passion. And I think for me personally, I was like, oh, I need to know everything about these animals that I'm working with. I've got to know all from the get-go, and I've got to try and get everything done in the day to like really, really high standard. So I set the bar really, really high from the get-go. I think don't put that much pressure on yourself. Like you're learning, like you're going to get faster. You're going to figure out what works best for you, the best kind of layout of your day for you. So me, I write out lists. I write out to-do lists, and I do that every day. Very satisfying to cross things off. But, you know, if extra things pop up, you can write them on there and you go, okay, if I get time to do that, I can do that. Otherwise, I can push it back till the next couple of days. It was a very good, I guess, it was very good for me to see, oh, okay, this is how I manage my time and how can I chip a couple of seconds off that. And the food prep, like, I volunteered as a bird food prep person as well. Just, I think I only got a couple of shifts before I got the keeping position. But the bird food prep, you know, you're coming in for about 4 hours to prepare all the different mixes of bird food. And I did that through placement as well. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get faster at this. I've been finishing at this time. Okay, let's try and finish 15 minutes earlier. And I found myself getting quicker and quicker. So it's kind of like a little challenge for myself.
It is funny that you do have to almost get quicker at tasks because, you know, there's so many of them during the day and you've got to get to every animal that's in your nursery and things like that. So the more and more you can shave off, the more attention you can give an animal or, you know, I can imagine all the different things you can deal with that. But, you know, it's not like a desk job where you're sitting there looking at a spreadsheet. You know, this morning I was updating contract end dates and I was like, this is going to take me forever. Like, you know, it's pretty cool to sort of set those challenges for yourself and be more efficient, but also efficient for the zoo, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I think the part that I love the most is that they do support you with the training, because as I mentioned with me and the lamb before, like, I had no idea what I was doing. So it's good to have that ease into it and also stop and ask those questions. I think that's one of the best things, is that you actually turn around and go, well, actually, no, yes, I know in theory, but I need more support there. And then it makes you much better at what you're doing, which is awesome.
Absolutely. Ask lots of questions. That's what I say to any new volunteers coming in to help us out. I say, if you're not sure, ask. I'd rather you ask and I'd rather explain it. As well as getting opportunities, I guess, to advance my skills, you get that opportunity. You know, they're like, hey, do you want to come and catch a pelican? Sure, never done it before, but I'll give it a go. It was, but it was very exhilarating as well. We had to catch one of the pelicans up to just fix up their leg band, and we need about 8 people, come on in. And I come in, I'm the only keeper in gum boots, and like, Caitlin, you're going in. and I looked at him, I'm like, okay, yes, how do I go about catching a pelican? I've never done it before. Give me a very, very quick rundown. So they gave me the rundown and in I went, and there I am just holding this pelican going, oh my gosh, is this really happening? They're quite light. I'd say they're quite light. And then we did what we needed to do, and I was like, they're like, okay, now let it go. And I was like, cool, how do I do that? What do I do? They said, just let it go, back up. And I was like, awesome.
No, it's good to ask. It really is. Because, you know, it's not like, in a situation like that, it's so easy to overthink, you know, and to just sort of like go in a weird way. It's sort of like holding someone else's baby, you know. It's like, it's just a sudden, oh my God.
and you don't know until you kind of get thrown into it, I guess. And I was like, okay, I know I can do that now. And then with the how to hold animals so that they're comfortable and feel safe, and we do quite a lot of courses through that at the zoo with the animals to make sure that we're comfortable, they can sign us off. And yeah, even that, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I really doing this? This is amazing. This is training, but oh my gosh.
Caitlin, I've got another animal question. Have you met an animal that hasn't liked you? Has it been like a negative experience?
Look, yes, but I win them over. Lots of treats. That includes my cat. I think it's certainly, I'm like, what are you thinking? I think it's called anthropomorphizing. Like, what are you thinking? What do you think about me? Do you like me? Do you not? I'm just going to give you what I know you like and we'll see what happens. So I've built up a really good relationship with one of the birds on our round. And that took a lot of time. We needed to come up with a way to moisturize our toes, basically. Now that's pretty hard for a bird. So I came up with the training plan and was like, well, this is my plan. We can see how it goes. We can see how she responds. And it was just a lot of her getting used to me being in her space. And it was just a lot of peanuts. Every now and then you chuck in a sunflower seed. And then just the other day she wasn't taking the peanuts. So I was like, oh, let's try cashew. And she likes the cashew. So I was like, all right. We're on good terms. Good, good. Wombats as well. Like, they like routine. So I did have to build up a relationship with the wombats. And I will talk to them while I'm in there cleaning. I said, you've got your room service is here. Your room service is coming in to clean your bedroom, give you your food. You'll be out and about in your exhibit in no time. I generally will stay around and watch to see whether they eat the food. They love popcorn. Found out they love popcorn. Not salted, not buttered, just plain popcorn.
Just plain. I was backpacking and we were living in the back of a car and we were sleeping in this big Holden car in Kangaroo Valley. In the middle of the night, the car starts like rocking and we're from the UK. We're like, what the hell is like? Check, this car is just, it was like wombat scratching their butt against the boot of the car.
They are hilarious.
Animals. I love them.
They are hilarious. They get zoomies. I love wombat zoomies. And they'll do a little spin at the end to try and, like, knock you with their bottom. And we had a young one. And I was like, I cannot take you seriously. You are too cute. Like, you are trying to intimidate me, but I can't. You're too cute. giving them little butt scratches and... he really likes beetroot, this one, which I didn't know. So you check them every morning and I was like, oh my gosh, he's got red around his face. What's happened? Has he broken a tooth? What's going on? And then someone pointed out, oh, beetroot's his favorite. And I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Everything you mentioned reminds me of being a mum.
And I think I said, like, I'm all right now. I've got enough fur babies at the zoo right now. Like,
yeah.
I've certainly got my hands full. So,
because beetroot comes out the other end red as well.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And they poo in squares, so that's nice.
That's true. That's not urban myth. They actually do poo in squares.
They do. I've got photo evidence. I was that student that said, can I take a photo of the wombat poo? Can I take a photo of the koala poo? You know, like, I mean, that, yeah, koalas, wow. Like, they only wee once a day, and I happened to be right place, right time, and I managed to catch some koala wee. They needed a sample and there I was on placement and they had the little tub, you know, they're ready to go. And I was kind of just in there like, oh my God, where is it? And I just, yeah, was like, okay, go for it. And I just held it underneath the koala. And I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. Cool. but at the end I was like, do you mind? Is it okay if I smell it? And they looked at me and I said, I want to see what it smells like. Does it smell like eucalyptus? Like, no, it doesn't. To me, it smells like curry powder. It smells like curry powder.
I cuddled a koala last year and I smelt like a koala for like a day. I could not get the koala smell off. I was not expecting that. My baby, like Rory, was only like 12 weeks old and he was like, what is going on? You smell weird.
Do you know how... You might not know the answer to this, but I've got my HR hat on. How many people does it take to run a zoo? Do you know how many employees there is?
a lot. I do not know the exact number, but a lot. You've got your HR, you've got your horticulturalists, your keepers, your maintenance, like food store people. Like there's so many. And then, yeah, you've got your HRs, you've got all your higher ups. And yeah, I mean, we all kind of collaborate anyway. We have a department meeting every couple of months to kind of catch up where everything's at. So that's really good.
Who orders the food? Do you order the animal food?
So we've got a person that's their sole job is to make the food crates, ordering the food. So we purchase from local stores, so your Woolies, your Coles, but farmers markets as well. And then that person basically weighs out all the foods, crates for each round in the zoo. So they do, I think it's Mondays. They'll make up about 5 days worth and then deliver that every morning. So it's a very interesting job, that one. They're not in with the animals, but they're helping to prepare all the food and make sure that we've got what we need to make up their diets. So I know we had, and they've got to kind of roll with the changes as well. So I know we had the price increase with the iceberg lettuce, so we swapped that out and had spinach instead, and trying to get the freshest stuff that we can. The animals eat better than we do sometimes.
With the lettuce, did you swap the lettuce out for cabbage like they do on KFC?
We did actually. We did. We had a mix of cabbage and spinach and no iceberg for a little bit, and then it came back. And I feel like the animals would be like, yes. And then they get the really nice seasonal fruits as well. So we'll get papayas every now and then. We'll get the strawberries, blueberries, and oh, you're tempted cutting it up. You're going, oh, it smells so good. These pears smell so nice.
they don't need that pun of a strawberry.
Yeah.
So we spoke about your education already. You've mentioned there's a Cert 2, there's a Cert 3, there's volunteering, there's all these different paths. So in terms of what stood out for you, what is there any education that you highly recommend, or any blogs or resources or podcasts or anything you think is a must listen to or look at?
I think for me it was a lot of my own research. So every opportunity I kind of got offered to do research, so your year 12 research project, I took that as a opportunity to do my research. So I actually, surprise, surprise, I did it on animals. But I think certainly the certificate 2 in animal studies kind of gives you an idea of it's mainly domestic animals, but it kind of gives you that picture of, okay, what's it going to be like working in a vet? And then it gives you the ability, if you wanted to go and work in a wildlife park or a zoo, then you're able to go on to the next course that kind of leads to that. So we had to have done the Cert 2 to do the Certificate 3. If we didn't have the Certificate 2, we had to make sure that we did that before applying for the Certificate 3. So you kind of get your recognised prior learning with certain things in that as well. So that was nice.
I went to school with a couple of people that were studying zoology. Is that something that might be a quicker path, or do you think hands-on is, you know, where do you, it's kind of like asking about film school. Do you go?
I think the zoology certainly helps. I think there's a couple of keepers that have the zoology at the zoo at the moment, and there's quite a few that have diplomas or are doing diplomas at the moment. But they are looking at that minimum Certificate 3. So they will look for that and then any hands-on experience that you have. So for me, it was that little bit in the local vet for placements during high school and the Cert 2, and then that little stint that I did at RSPCA. So that was just something that was listed on the, hey, you know, you didn't get it this time, but, you know, get as much on-hands experience as you can. And they actually listed those couple of things. So I was like, okay, I'll specifically see whether I can get in with those people. Yeah, so certainly I'd never saw it as a wow door closing. I was kind of like, okay, like they've let me know that, hey, not this time, but you know, maybe there's a next time, and if I go off and do this, like, I'll gain more experience for myself and more confidence in doing these things myself. Again, not necessarily going, yep, if I do this, I will get a job. It's more, you know, I may get a job. And certainly that thinking definitely helped me take the pressure off myself and enjoy it more.
Definitely. You go into these placements and these places, you know, figuring out what you can find out there rather than just going, okay, this, I've got to get this done to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It's very much something I think I'm learning myself at the moment, just enjoying what you're doing at the moment and making the most out of the day today, because at the end of the day, it all comes around and this day is a meaningful day for you in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And I always say, like, we are our own worst critic. So I could do a penguin talk and I'll finish it and I go, oh my goodness, like, I forgot to say this, I forgot to say that. And then colleagues will go, no, that was great. What are you talking about? Like, that was fantastic. So it's going, yep, did that. That was great.
You inspired people. You know, people are sitting there talking about penguins. It's the happiest thing in the world.
I think, like, and that's exactly it. If you knew that, that'd be that cute and that sassy. but, you know, and I think for me as well, like, growing up being really young and then as I got older, you know, people would say, oh, why do you want to do that? You know, it's not good pay. Like, why do you want to do that? Like, why don't you be a vet or a vet nurse? You get better pay. And I'm going, nah, this is what I want to do. Like, it, if anything, it pushed me to want to achieve it more. And I was like, I'm doing a job that I love. I do not feel like I'm working. Like, I'd rather do that than sit at a desk and get paid more and be miserable. So...
yeah, you spend so much time in your job. You've got to do something that makes you happy. Your mental health is so much more important than earning $1 million. And, you know, I just wish that it's so hard to find out what you're happy about. You know, it's like you can get into these wonderful jobs and these exciting things, and there's certain aspects of your life that push you in that area, but it might not be the one thing that you're passionate and you love every day. So it'll grind away at you, and just to be able to be like, this is what I spend my time doing. The fact that I earn money doing it is incredible. And then on top of that, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm not going to bed. All I'm worrying about is what I might have said in that speech, but that's that, you know.
Not worried about anything else. Exactly right. Like, there's always so much good. Like, you come home, you're like, wow, I made a difference in this person's life today. Like, yeah, it's incredible. Fantastic.
Oh, so exciting. And now I want to go to Adelaide Zoo. Can we go to Adelaide Zoo? So our last question is, are there any quotes that, you know, resonate with you or inspire you on a daily basis?
I had to write it down because I couldn't remember the entire thing, but I guess role models for me, obviously David Attenborough, oh my goodness, very, very captivating, but Steve Irwin was probably the first one. He was amazing. He was probably the one person that got me completely engaged with his passion and enthusiasm in, you know, looking after wildlife and everything. So there's a quote that is from him that is, education is all about being excited about something, and seeing passion and enthusiasm helps to spread that educational message. And I could not agree with that, like, any more than I already do. You know, if you've got that passion and it's visible, and people are going to feed off of that, and you're going to make a difference in their lives, but, you know, hopefully that they will then carry that on and then make a little change in their worlds, and, you know, just that little positive flow-on effect.
It's contagious, that passion and energy can be contagious.
Yeah.
Get forward with passion. Steve Irwin made a massive difference in my life. I was being homeschooled at the time when we were watching programs on him, and my my mum used to take us to the zoo to draw. And I used to pretend, I used to come up with stories in my head about being a crocodile wrestler.
Yeah. So
I wasn't quite drawing, but I was trying to be an author, I guess.
I think it was, just, and he'd just get in there and he'd be like, yeah, this is, you know, this is a crocodile. He's just right in there, you know, with the mud, the dirt. And I'm just like, yeah, yeah, no fear.
Yeah, it's good to have role models and people that you kind of go, well, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, if I, you know, it's like if you go skydiving, you jump out of a plane, you know, the next day you're like, well, actually, now I can do anything, really. You're like, if I can do that, then I can definitely go swimming in the sea again.
Yeah.
But, you know, mentors are also that great side of it. And, you know, meeting people like you who are so passionate about what you do and have such a wonderful story. I'm sure you're going to inspire so many wonderful people in the future. So that's so exciting.
Yes, me too.
About to wrap up. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't covered?
No, I think we've covered a day in the life of a zookeeper. It's every day very, very different.
It's really
fantastic.
Cool.
Caitlin, it's been fantastic meeting you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Roxy and Nate. Thanks for tuning in to A to Z Jobs. And always remember, it's your career and it's up to you to shape it. So dream big, make bold moves, stay curious, and keep exploring. Check out our website at thecareerchangecoaches.com for more resources, tools, and upcoming training.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of A to Z Jobs. Remember, your dream career could be just one episode away.